This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Catastrophic floods ravaged southeastern West Virginia June 23rd, leaving 12 counties declared federal disaster areas. Many of these counties and many others, most of West Virginia today, are under a flash flood watch as more rain is expected in the area again today and tomorrow. As West Virginians reflect on the historic flooding, some are questioning whether climate change had an impact on the amount of rain that fell in such a short period of time. Glynis Board spoke with several experts and has this report.
Lots of people who grew up and live in southern West Virginia swear flooding has never been as bad as it is today. Of course, not everyone agrees why. It's likely a combination of forces at work. But how much of a role is climate change playing? Michael Mann is a distinguished professor of atmospheric science at Penn State University and the director of a Center for Climate Research.
Data are very clear. There is a substantial increase in what we call the intensity of rainfall events, which is simply to say flooding, more extreme and more prevalent flooding.
Despite that data, some scientists say it's actually really hard to prove unequivocally on paper that climate change is creating more flooding or changing the nature of floods in West Virginia. Steve Kite is a geologist and a researcher at West Virginia University who specializes in earth surface processes, including things like floods and landslides.
There are a number of papers out which have tried to prove it based on flood histories. And to this point, they have not really been able to say that that is the case.
So let's just unpack this climate change issue a little bit. Climatologists like Mann explain that as the globe has warmed 1 degree Celsius, the amount of moisture in the atmosphere has increased by about 5%. Mann compares the atmosphere to a sponge.
The warmer the atmosphere is, the more water there is in that sponge. And when you squeeze it, you're going to get more intense rainfall events, more intense flooding. And the data indeed indicate that that is happening in the U.S.
One thing that we do know for sure, West Virginia is naturally prone to flooding. In fact, it's one of the most flash flood prone states in the country and maybe even the world. A lot of that has to do with the rugged Appalachian Mountains. We've got these stacked ridgelines and deep hollows that are really good at shaking moisture out of storms and channeling it quickly downstream to larger rivers. Data from NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, indicate that while some places like California are experiencing extreme drought, the amount of water in extreme rainfall events has increased 70% in our region over the course of the last century. So climate scientists like Mann are not totally surprised by West Virginia's once-in-a-millennia 2016 flood. Meteorologist Sean Sublett from the nonprofit organization Climate Central in New Jersey says it's a safe assumption that climate change played an impactful role.
Climate change certainly raises your odds. It raises the stakes. Right now, I think the National Weather Service suggests that this kind of rain that happened in West Virginia was a 1 in 1,000 year event. As we go forward in time in the coming decades, that frequency would probably increase.
Right. So imagine an athlete on steroids. If he hits a home run, say, no one can directly attribute that particular success to drug use. But the chances of that athlete hitting home runs are greatly increased by steroids. So in West Virginia, the flood was the home run. Climate change is the drug. And many scientists agree that there may be a cocktail of drugs in West Virginia's case if you also consider land use issues like timbering and mining practices, as well as floodplain management. Climate scientists say the bottom line, in the coming decades, floods are going to happen, and likely more often and more intensely. And regardless of the cause, geologists and climatologists agree. West Virginians can be and need to be thoughtful and careful about how we rebuild in the wake of recent flooding. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. A flash flood watch is in effect for all of West Virginia except in the northern panhandle. Rain and thunderstorms through tomorrow could cause flooding in low-lying areas. Temperatures today and tomorrow in the mid 70s to the mid-80s with overnight lows in the mid-60s to the low 70s. We can look forward to mostly sunny skies on Wednesday with highs in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by State Electric Supply Company, providing electrical solutions to West Virginia since 1952, online at stateelectric.com.
Greene County, Pennsylvania is right on the border of West Virginia. It's the number one coal-producing county in the U.S., but times there are changing. Overall, coal production in the county is at its lowest point in 30 years, and thousands of miners have lost their jobs. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier has been following the impact of coal's decline in Greene County, specifically in Waynesburg.
In November, the word came down. The Emerald Mine No. 1 in Waynesburg was closing. The mine belongs to Alpha Natural Resources, a large coal company that, like most other big coal companies, is in the midst of bankruptcy. One night, a few months after it closed, many of the miners who lost their jobs meet in a large, well-lit hall. More than 100 people are there to see presentations about job opportunities they'd be qualified for. One of these is Derek Corcoran, a big, burly 31-year-old. He's been working in mines for 12 years. He remembered the day of the layoffs.
Right before Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving, they laid off. I think it was close to 200, maybe a little over 200 miners.
And was that a surprise?
No, they were talking about it for a couple years and just finally come along, you know, and it actually happened, so.
The crowd is mostly men, though some of the miners have brought their families with them. They take their seats and hear a series of speakers. One of them is the local state representative, Pam Snyder. She tells how she'd been laid off after administrations in the state capital had changed, back when she worked in state government. And she said it worked out for her, and it'll probably work out for them, too.
Through the struggles, something better came from it. So I want you to know tonight, something better will come for you.
There are representatives from county agencies and technical schools, former miners who now work in fields like computer coding and private security. One of the speakers is Blair Zimmerman. He's a Greene County commissioner. He used to be a coal miner, and he says he'd been laid off many times before.
We always knew we were going to get back to work.
He points to a pin on his lapel. He says it was his 40-year pin from the UMWA, the United Mine Workers of America, the union these miners belong to.
You guys don't want to be bullshit, and you don't want that. And I know I didn't want that when I worked there. So the reality is, you know, these 40-year pins are going to be hard to come by.
Zimmerman says some would be lucky enough to get a job at the Cumberland Mine, another local mine owned by Alpha Natural Resources.
And I hope sooner than later. But a lot of you aren't going to get back to the mines. That's just the way it's going to happen.
After the speeches are over, the meeting breaks up. One of the speakers is Dave Searock. He left the coal mine to work as a recruiter for a private industry group. He lays out the challenge faced by the people in this room.
It's tough because the hardest transition is you're going from a job where you made six figures and probably the highest job you're going to get in Fayette or Greene County is $20,000, $30,000 a year. If you're lucky, you might get one hit 40, but you're never going to hit 80 to 100.
This meeting is the first event held by a group calling itself Career Opportunities After Layoff. Acronym COAL. Get it? The group was started by two Emerald miners to help their fellow laid-off miners get jobs. One of the guys who organized the group is Dave Hathaway. He's not dressed like the other miners. Today, he's wearing a dress shirt and tie. Hathaway says he's not holding out hope for getting rehired in the coal industry. He's on the list to be transferred to the Cumberland Mine, but right now he's number 70 in seniority, so his odds are small. He says he's applied to 50 places, all online.
From prison to casino, gas field, just anywhere.
And any bites?
Zero. Not one phone call. from any.
Overall, he's happy with the way tonight's event has turned out. He's particularly impressed with one of the speakers, a rep for the Carpenters Union, who encouraged the miners to apply for an internship that paid $40,000 during training and more once the training was over. All the miners file out of the meeting hall. It's March. For most of them, their unemployment runs out in 2 months. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
The Allegheny Front reports on energy and the environment from Pittsburgh. For more information, visit AlleghenyFront.org. A federal report found that from about a third to nearly half of rural residents in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia lack high-speed internet and the job opportunities that come with it. Kentucky is working to bring broadband internet to its eastern counties, which includes some of the most impoverished parts of the country. Reporter Benny Becker visited two eastern Kentucky counties to see what happens when high-speed internet comes to town.
Alicia Tanfield lives with her husband and two daughters in Annville, Kentucky, population 1,095. It's one of the bigger towns in Jackson County, surrounded by grassy fields and rolling hills that inspire the slogan, "Where the mountains and the bluegrass blend." It's not easy to find a job here. More than a quarter of the population lives below the poverty line, and most people who have jobs work outside the county. That used to be Alicia Tanfield's situation.
I was doing merchandising, and I'd have to drive to different cities. And after you pay gas, you're not making anything.
Then, things got even harder.
My car broke down, so I had no car. I was struggling to pay my bills, and I couldn't get my girls what they needed.
Tanfield heard that a friend had found a work-from-home job through the Teleworks USA job board.
I'd always been curious about work-from-home jobs, but a lot of them are scams. And so Teleworks, on their website, they make sure it's not a scam.
Teleworks USA is part of a federally funded workforce development program, and it offers more than just a curated job board. At hubs like the one that opened 3 years ago in Annville, Teleworks offers training as well as computers with headsets and a good internet connection. For Tanfield, this was a huge new opportunity, which led to a new job that puts a big smile on her face when she talks about it.
I started working with U-Haul in February. I have a good paycheck. I have a car. My bills are paid. I love it.
Tanfield just got internet installed that allows her to work from home, and that brings a whole new set of benefits.
It doesn't cost me anything in gas, and I don't have to pay for childcare. For being a mom of two with two more on the way, it's great to be able to work from home.
More than a third of Kentucky's rural areas lack broadband internet. But in 2015, a local telecom company finished connecting every home and business in Jackson County to a high-speed fiber optic network.
Instead of being behind other counties like we often are, we're sort of a little bit ahead of the game.
That's Keith Gabbard, the CEO of People's Rural Telephone Cooperative, or PRTC. PRTC leaned on grants and loans to complete the $50 million project, which brought internet that's 8 times faster than the national average. That top-notch internet has allowed Teleworks USA to bring over 200 Teleworks jobs into Jackson County.
That's probably the best example we have to show that the availability of high-speed broadband is actually making a difference in the job market.
Jackson's neighbor to the east, Owsley County, is also covered by PRTC's fiber network, and it's looking for help facing some even bigger economic struggles. Unemployment is more than 9%, and the county has the country's fifth highest poverty rate. More than 6% of the county's residents have left over the past 5 years. Molly Turner of the nonprofit Owsley County Action Team hopes that a new Teleworks hub will help people stay.
You hear that all the time. No jobs for me here. I'm going to have to leave. But I want to see that if people are content to live a rural lifestyle, that they'd be able to stay here and at the same time make a decent living.
Given how things have worked out for people like Alicia Tanfield, Turner's hopes don't seem so outlandish. Combining a strong internet connection and Teleworks USA might go a long way toward turning around the economy in rural areas like eastern Kentucky.
Okay, thank you for calling U-Haul. You have a great day. Bye.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Benny Becker in Jackson County, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is a public media partnership covering the region's economic transition and is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news and the weather throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.